Are you investigating projects more carefully?
Well, I didn't have the agent I have now. He won't let me do anything like that again. He'd check them out first. So, that's their job. They do that.
You know, but most actors, if you take them aside, say, they have always millions of horrible, my agent doesn't do anything stories. What did I need him for? I have to protect myself. Not your case?
Well, I've got a very good agent here, who's a killer, and I like him.
What's his name?
David Wardlow, ICM. And he just does the business. I just do the other side. And it's a good arrangement. I never get involved with money or the business side of it. I mean, I'll say whether I want to do the part or not, and then he goes out and kills them for what he can get. And if they won't pay it, then I never get involved in whether I'll do it or not. If they won't pay, I don't do it.
Are you affected by, well, what they'll pay is sort of, in Hollywood especially, is kind of your stamp of worth at the moment. Does that affect you when you see your salary going up and down and sideways?
It usually goes up. or it stays static, you know. But I expect it'll go up tomorrow.
What if
you know,
there was some fabulous little movie, you thought it was a really wonderful project, you wanted to do it, but they were shooting at very low budget, and they just couldn't come up with them.
I've done that. I do movies for freebies. I did 2 freebies last year, because they didn't have the money to pay me, so I said, okay, I'll do it for nothing. Because I wanted to do it, and they were friends. And I did one for Mary and Marty Ritt, for free. That's
for
different.
Mm-hmm. You did for free?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Or will you make it back?
Because they couldn't pay me the money that I'm supposed to get. And I did it for Mary. I did also a picture for Lindsay Anderson called Britannia Hospital for free.
Do you identify with any of these angry young man characters that you played over the years?
No.
I'm wondering why you took on a project like Clockwork Orange.
Why?
Yeah.
Because if you're offered a film by Stanley Kubrick directing it, I mean, I don't care if it's the phone book, you do it. I mean, I was a young man, he's a great director, and he's offering me the lead in a movie. I mean, who cares what it's... I mean, it could be anyone. It could have been Barry Lyndon. Then you would have all said, well, what a charming part you played in Barry Lyndon, such a lovely movie. It's just a crapshoot, really, you know.
What do you suppose it was that attracted Kubrick to you in the first
place? He loved If, and when he read the book, apparently he saw my face as the character, and that's what happened.
Are you aware that Clockwork Orange is a big success on midnight movies all across the country in theaters where kids go out to?
Yeah, I've heard it is.
Can you analyze or theorize about why it's had such great staying power? Other than that, it's a superb film. But
well, that's the only reason it's a superb film, but also it's kind of, I feel like the sort of father of punk, you know, because all this weird sort of get-ups and stuff that we invented for that movie was the kind of beginning of this, taken up by David Bowie and other people, you know. It is the kind of beginnings of punk, really. And it's like the other pictures that they love to go and see is Rocky Horror Show, that kind of camp, you know. Also, it's a very funny movie, Clockwork Orange, which people didn't really see at the time because it was all this first big violent picture, you know, not the first, one of the forerunners. And now, you know, one can really get to see what the picture's actually about.
Do you think the studio was wrong to re-edit it to get an R?
It took 30 seconds out of it. There was no re-editing. It was just ridiculous. I mean, it was Stanley trying to eke a few more bucks out of it. The thing is, you know, that he should never have, either he should have sorted himself out at the beginning. He left himself open to criticism by doing that halfway through. Either he should have just taken the 30 seconds out to begin with and just got the R, or stayed with the X. I mean, because now it would be GP, wouldn't it?
What is that scene of you with the two girls, is that what he took out? I didn't.
No, he didn't take that out.
It's the rape scene, is it, in the house?
Is it?
I think so, because there are longer shots, as I can recall, of the woman your gang is raping.
I can't remember.
In Blue Thunder, you know, you have a British accent, obviously. We don't have too much explanation as to why, but it seems to me that with the British accent, you're even more evil. Is does that ever enter into it, that someone with a British accent could either be more intelligent...
I am what I am.
Was there ever an explanation about that? Or
some cockeyed... I mean, I don't know. I mean, the thing was, they didn't want me to do it American. And I thought, well, it could well be that he's a specially trained, he's a specialist, so specialists get away with it. Anyway, have you heard the accents around here? The limo drivers are German, you know. He said, I'm American. Sure you are.
Well, they said in that the scene where they punched up your background. That,
oh, yeah. What happened?
Been born in England. They
did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how they go. That's right. They could
did
use
you go
it.
Last night?
Yeah. I thought it was terrific.
Was the first time you'd seen it all together?
Yeah.
In a situation like that, do you find yourself keying more into the screen or into the audience and what they,
oh, the
how
screen.
They are reacting?
Well, they rather stay the film first nighters, aren't they? I mean, I hear Roy told me he saw it in New York at a screening of people off the street, and they went crazy. They went crazy. They love it. It's a good audience participation movie. It's like the Jaws of the Air, isn't it?
I had a feeling of Road Warrior a bit. Maybe that was the soundtrack. George Miller's movies,
yeah.
If you know.
I do.
With spectacular effects.
Yeah, the effects on this, I mean, these helicopter people are extraordinary. I mean, very skilled. They can keep it as far as I'm concerned, and I hate flying.
Well, Daniel Stern was telling us about him. It was rough initially to be up there in the air in a helicopter. Did you have similar queasy experiences?
Sure, it was rough doing all those dives at the end. I'll tell you, that was rough. That was horrible. I was sick. I couldn't do it. I had to go back and reshoot mine. I mean, you know, that these guys took us... We had to actually sit in while they went chasing around these buildings up and down these streets in downtown L.A. And that was no fun. It was a real roller coaster ride. And diving right down and, you know, they really... they have when they start, they don't stop. You know, they had to do all the stunts. We're in a flying pattern. And once we got lost, and I thought, my God, we're going down a street, and the other helicopter could have come down any of the cross streets, you know.
Did you ever think, I'm giving up my life for this?
I did. I said, hey, let's get out of here. Get up. I don't cut the camera. I don't give a damn. Let's get home, you know.
Well, then when Vic Morrow was killed on Twilight Zone and all that, did that bring any...
Well, no, because we did this before.
Okay. No, but
I know. I mean, I'm terrified of stunts. I loathe stunts, and in fact, you know, when they offered it to me, I said, well, I won't fly in it. I mean, I don't know. If they can do it without me flying, fine. And they said, okay, we're doing it on the back lot. So we did. We started out to do it, and John looked at the dailies, the material. He didn't like it. And he said, he was very nice to me one Sunday, I remember, and he said, I'd like to show you some footage. And he showed us what the stunt pilots had done. And I said, boy, this is great. That's me and that's him. Brilliant. I haven't even had to do it. He said, well, now we're going to have to do it. I said, you're kidding. You have to go up there. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. I got in there in a daze. And I said, well, what do I do? He said, don't touch anything. I said, well, I've got to act. I'm supposed to be... So just hold it very gently. Barely touching the things, you know. Because it was all live, you know.
Do you think that sort of risk, asking an actor to take that risk, is fair?
If I was a director, I would ask an actor to take that risk. As the actor, I don't think it's fair at all, no. If I was a director, I want the best. But I mean, it is safe because you've got people, I mean, total experts in their field. But there is a risk, you know. I mean, you know. But mind you, my stunt pilot, his engine blew on him. He landed it free. He landed down perfectly all right.
Did your wife ever say to you, don't do it?
It's not me. No. She said, hey, if you got to do it well.
Would you plan to co-star in a movie at all?
There are vague things they're talking about, but they have to come up with a good script, you know.
Do you want to go back to England and do any films there?
Depends what the film would be. I know if there's a good script, I'll go anywhere and do it. It'd be nice to go to England and shoot because I've got a house there.
Has anything come up that has intrigued you?
No. Just another very, all very violent things. I get a bit turned off, really. It's so gratuitous, you know, that I like to sort of do a variety of parts. And I'm now into rock and roll singing. That's my next project, so. Yeah.
How did you like the way Kathy?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean,
which one, Ben? Captain.
So sort of weird.
What do you mean you're into rock and roll singing? Can you expand on that a bit?
I'm doing a part that requires 10 songs. I did last summer I did a rock and roll singer. I mean, sort of in a comedy as a giggle, you know. And I did 3 songs. It was great fun. I went into a studio and recorded them and all that. And I was playing a sort of Rod Stewart character, so it was, you know, I'm the greatest kind of thing. Don't you think I'm sexy type of part. And anyway, this guy saw the footage and offered me this part in this movie. So
What's it called?
Tin Soldiers. It's a very good script. So it's really about a relationship between a rock and roll singer and a son he hasn't seen at all. He had a paternity suit filed against him when he first came to America, and he's never seen his son at all. And suddenly the mother dies, and he's the legal guardian of this kid, who turns up. He's 13. He's been to a military academy. He's like a Sherman tank, and it's the relationship of this flaky rock and roller and the son he's never seen, and it's rather marvelous, really. A man called Gene Taft, who's a producer, who's directing for the first time.
You said a lot of the roles.
Everybody's at it.
A lot of the roles you've been offered have been violent, and you've turned them down for that reason. Do you think you've been kind of typecast that way?
I do. Excuse me. It's inevitable, you know, if you are in a successful movie. I mean, if I'd have done Mickey Mouse, you know, I'd been playing Mickey Mouse parts. It's just the way things are. So, as I say, I've resisted doing too many of them, but it's, you know, one's got to work. I've got to pay the rent.
Do you have regrets about the way you began your movie career?
No. I don't have no regrets. I've had a very charmed career so far, and I'm very happy with it. One of longevity. I like to be working when I'm 75, you know.
Do you think you've done your best work?
No. It's yet to come. May as well give up if I thought I'd done my best work.
It's always fascinating, somebody who spent a lot of their life in front of a camera. What kinds of effects has it had on you as opposed to maybe a so-called normal upbringing? Do you have a sense of perspective on that?
I hope so. It's just really a job. I mean, it's not a job per se, but when I'm there, I'm in another world. I mean, and I'm in command of it. I wish I was in command of my own life as well as I am in my job, you know. But the most important thing to me is my family, you know, not my work. But that's a recent change for me. I mean, it used to be all my work. But I'm much happier now that I have a family and 2 children, or 1.5.
Terry Jones and Monty Python told me the other week that he regretted the Americanization of Britain, McDonald's all over the place, etc. Do you feel that way? Because your press material kind of indicated that you now feel very comfortable living here in America.
I do.
I mean, do you think that your native country has been too Americanized? Or?
I think it's only a good thing for sleepy old Britain to wake up. You know, it's I mean, it's inevitable. The most powerful country on the planet does tend to influence the rest of the world. That's inevitable. I mean, the Romans gave us wine, you know. Thank God they did. So the Americans give us McDonald's. I don't think McDonald's is that bad, frankly. I think, you know, you have to wait 5 hours in an English restaurant to get a greasy hamburger. I'd prefer to go into McDonald's and get it instantly and great chips, you know. So I don't think it's too bad. I don't like the sign everywhere, but you've got to pay the price for, you know. I don't think it's too bad.
You didn't have any reluctance to accepting $8 million from Universal for them to make their movie.
Well, that's it. You can't have your cake and eat it, you know. And I think that's fair enough. Anyway, I like the philosophy of this country. I sort of fit into it rather well. And
what's that?
The philosophy is free enterprise, you know. If you've got the talent and the energy and the luck, then good luck to you. In England, you've got to wait for some poor person to die before you can step in. Or it depends on who your parents were. Well, it's nice and refreshing to come to this society. You know, it doesn't have the finesse of Europe, but I like the energy here. And I'd like to go back to Europe to look at old buildings. It's great. And I come here to live.
What about becoming a citizen? Have you become, or do
no.
you want to?
No, I am a green card holder. And I have all the benefits. I mean, I pay taxes here on everything I earn. I don't have to fight for America, and I can't vote. So I never voted anyway, so that gets rid of that. And I can't fight. Well, what a shame.
A two-star family. That seems to be working beautifully now.
There's only one star in our family, darling. Her name is Lily, and she's 2 years of age.
That's a good remark, but it's not totally true, eh?
It sure is. I'm telling you, when you're in that house, there's only one star. That's funny. We've just done a fairy tale theater thing that Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf. She came down there and it was hysterical. I still do this voice for her as the Big Bad Wolf, and she'd go, "What's that? What's that?" I said, "It's the Big Bad Wolf. That's what it is, the Big Bad Wolf." She goes, "Oh, what the hell is that?" She goes crazy. She came down and saw me in all this makeup and then she freaked her out. "Daddy, then?" I said, "It's Daddy. It's Daddy on all these whiskers and stuff." And eventually she came over and held my leg. It took an hour.
But don't you all talk about what happened? I mean, show business marriages, my God, they're the legend for.
Well, we don't talk shop at home very rarely.
But I mean, don't you talk about what happens?
We tell her. No,
not to Lily, to each other, the possibilities of what happens in a marriage when one's shining for the moment.
Well, yeah, of course. And well, we've been rather lucky in that. You know, things have independently have been going very well for Mary, and I'm working and I'm doing all right. So, you know, I may go back and do a play in New York in the fall, and so it's different. You know, it's very different kind of careers. Mary's very hot right now; she's on a good roll. But you know, she's a woman, and it's difficult for a woman. They have to take it. You know, if it happens to them when they're young and pretty, go with it, because you know it's a very it's a sexist society, isn't it? And they don't get that many opportunities when they get a bit older, you know.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to move you.
Oh, I'm moving, right.